You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to another episode of The Playlist Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, Managing Editor of The Playlist. And for this episode, I had the pleasure of recently sitting down with, well, virtually sitting down with, director Rhys Thomas, who's one of the filmmakers responsible for the new Marvel Studios series, Hawkeye. As the title suggests, Hawkeye is the story of Clint Barton, played by Jeremy Renner, who's one of the original Avengers in the MCU and is now getting the spotlight to himself in a new Disney Plus series. Well, he's not by himself, as the series introduces fellow archer Kate Bishop, played by Hailee Steinfeld, who brings all sorts of new chaos to Clint's life. Thomas is a new name in the realm of superhero storytelling, but he's far from a new filmmaker. His previous work has been in various clips for SNL, as well as series such as Comrade Detective, Documentary Now, and John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch. And in our interview, we talk about how a comedy filmmaker landed his first Marvel gig, as well as the intense security that surrounds such an assignment. We also discuss the joys of Hawkeye, why he's an underrated character, and how he plays particularly well off of Paul Rudd's Ant-Man, even though Ant-Man doesn't unfortunately get to show up in the show. But before we get to the interview, I got to tell you, the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, The Discourse, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. Okay, without any further ado, let's throw it to my interview with Rhys Thomas, director of Hawkeye, which has debuted on Disney Plus today. So enjoy. All right, so let's just jump into it. Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you too.
So I always like when I speak with directors on Marvel projects, I always like to know a little bit about how they got involved, because especially somebody like you with a strong history in comedy and, you know, shows like SNL, Comrade Detective, Documentary Now, and my personal favorite, Sack Lunch Bunch. Hawkeye has its fair share of comedy, of course, but it's an action show. So how does the comedy director come in and start directing Hawkeye?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, I harbored, obviously, as a director, the MCU has this appeal just because it's world building and they've done such a wonderful job and anything can happen in that world. And so I harbored a desire to do something like this, for sure. But it was kind of a surprise to me when I got a call for a meeting, just to come in. So generally, I genuinely didn't really know what it might be. My kind of Welsh pessimistic side assumed that they probably had some super high concept web series or something that they wanted to talk to me about. They introduced the idea of the streaming shows to me there and Disney Plus and the fact that these shows were going to sort of exist in the same universe as the movies and should look and feel the same, and they could kind of keep crossing back and forth. It was kind of exciting. And I think I sensed a little opening in the door when they mentioned that. And they asked me in the meeting if there was a character that I was particularly interested in. And Hawkeye was that character for me, because I think I always enjoy, like, he's a real person. And there's something kind of like a little bit absurd about his situation. And so... I remember getting a surprised reaction when I said that too. And so that was like, yeah, I was like, that's specifically that reaction. That's why I think it could be interesting. I after that meeting, I was just very, I kind of couldn't let it go. Once I thought like, oh my God, maybe I could do this. And so I managed to eventually sort of coax some outlines of what they were working on for it. Out of them just kind of started on that journey. Then I started basically just throwing together notes and ideas, and I would just fire them off kind of with with a wince, hoping that they'd go over well and not blow it for me. And then I'd have, you know, a 2-hour phone call with Trin, the executive on the show, and to talk it over. And I wasn't on the show yet. And this kind of went on for a little while. And then the scripts started coming out, and I started seeing some ideas in them, and although they'd sort of point out like, oh yeah, I know you mentioned this, is that we still haven't figured that out. And it just felt like a conversation was developing. So yeah, I don't know. I was very at ease. I think by the time I actually pitched Kevin Feige, and Lou and Victoria, I was quite at ease with the show. I felt like I already knew it, and sort of could already kind of, I think, feel a part of me in it at that point. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, again, it's not an obvious route. Like it wasn't, yeah, it just kind of, it surprised me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned this a little bit, but there's in the comic books as well as the MCU, there's always been this kind of stigma around Hawkeye, right? He's just the regular guy. I think he's even said it in the MCU, you know, he's just the guy who shoots arrows, and he's surrounded by like these gods and aliens and super soldiers.
Yeah.
And some people kind of write him off as the quote unquote, like lesser Avenger. So yeah. I'm curious, what do you think about him made him one of your favorites and kind of relates him to so many people who like the guy who shoots arrows?
I think that's it. It's like he's there because he chooses to be there. I mean, his superpower is essentially who he is. Like it's his identity. That's it. Like, or whatever he feels like, that's it. It's the thing that he, you know, he keeps getting back up and running into it, even though the odds are way against him. And so and the way that Jeremy, I think, has characterized him over the years, and you know, again, the fact that he has a family, and I think the sort of the darkness that you sort of saw in Endgame and sort of come through losing them, all that kind of stuff, like it just felt like actually sort of the most relatable aspect of those movies to me, and that was kind of even though he wasn't driving the story and wasn't maybe at the front of it, there was, I don't know, there's just those glimpses of humanity, I think, just helped it. So it felt really like fertile ground for something. And I hadn't seen, you know, I was like, I just hadn't seen that necessarily sort of approach in the MCU yet.
Yeah. So you get the job, you get your favorite character, and you're going to direct a few episodes, and you get the joy of directing the first two plus the finale. And so you're kind of leading the way early on. What was it like going from SNL, you know, all these types of comedies to a series that everybody wants to know everything about? There's spy cameras, there's all this, you know, what was that like? Did that take like a couple of days to get used to?
Oh, more than a couple of days. Yeah. Again, it's surreal when you suddenly really, you know, you enunciate like, oh, I have this character, I'm doing an MCU thing, and it doesn't quite feel real. And yeah, it's intimidating and scary. And you have a meeting with the head of security where he basically tells you, you know, just how seriously they take this stuff, and don't tell anyone. Like, we advise you just keep it under your hat. And I really took it seriously. Like, just, I didn't tell my family for a while. I was like, okay, I'm keep my head down. So yeah, you're kind of thrown into that. But again, you know, ultimately, to me, the way you kind of block out all of that stuff is like, you know, at its core, you've got these two central characters, and you've got to figure out a story. And that's the thing, is like, you know, while yes, I had the pleasure of doing those first two episodes, I was also, you know, I'm an executive producer on the show. And did also get involved in the writing when I came on. And so, you know, definitely felt like I just had that joy of getting to feel some ownership over this. And so, you know, you kind of just try, you block everything else out. It's like, this is what we're doing, and this is the North Star. And so, yes, the concept, you know, artists and the meeting, previous meetings and all that kind of stuff, it's all new territory for me. And it's thrilling. That's the thing, you're like, wait, we're designing a superhero costume this morning. That's what we're talking about. And you're asking me my opinion on where the stitching goes on the shoulder and what tools, like, you know, and it's, yeah, you're like, you know, it's crazy. Because you're also working with people that almost everyone involved had been with Marvel, you know, at least for a movie, if not, you know, 10 years of them. And so you're, you know, it's also like, you know, you again, so you're the newbie in the room, They're familiar with this stuff. They know what these meetings mean. They know who you should be talking to. Yet they do. They kind of put you out there. And Kevin, you know, it's like, what do you think? You know, like it's like that's it's being thrown at you. And I did. I had the joy of casting the show and you know, finding these people and, you know, people like Alacwa Cox, like who has never acted before. But I, you know, we found her and I got to read with her and I bring her and put her in front of the guys. And it's so, yeah, you're like, wow, what the hell is going on?
Speaking of the casting, you know, you mentioned the two central roles are Jeremy Renner, who you didn't get to cast. He came to the project. But then you have Haley Steinfeld. And I'm curious, at what point did you know that she was going to be involved? Was that something you guys were looking at? Basically, how did that all come together?
That, again, you know, I had those early conversations and early notes things. And so it sort of was kind of, you know, whispered to me unofficially that that's who we've, you know, thinking of got or, and, you know, and I so yes, it was, you know, and as Kevin Feige said, I think they never really saw anyone else as it. And I think once that name kind of entered my head as well, I couldn't see anything else either. So yeah, you know, admittedly that was kind of already in the works, and going, but, yeah, so you kind of got this wonderful North Star and you're like, okay, well, that's a show in itself. And so like, what else do we do?
Yeah. And she seems almost tailor-made for this type of story, right? The comedy, the action, like she's got it all when it comes to that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Haley. Yeah. Just sort of the thing that always, you know, that I look for in anything is like, you know, again, I think part of what I enjoy trying to do is ground, you know, like whether it grounds something is whether it's a super absurd, you know, scenario in Documentary Now or Comrade, but like, you know, find those access points and you know, and again, these Marvel, you know, projects, obviously they've got big characters and high concept ideas and, you know, high stakes drama and all this kind of stuff. You know, and the characters, they've got a job to do. They've got exposition to carry and, you know, and messages and all that kind of stuff. And so finding Kate's voice, you know, within that, she needed to have this new energy and a contrast with Clint, you know, Jeremy's character. And finding that voice was something that we, you know, in the writing, I remember, you know, that was, we really kind of worked on that. And there was all these different iterations of, you know, peppy and enthusiasm and snarky and, you know, and I remember it was like, it was this hard thing. I was like, oh, she's, you know, I just don't want it to feel too annoying. I don't want it to seem too entitled. I don't, you know, she's a rich character. Like, what do we do? And it, yeah. And then I, you know, got to meet with Haley and then, you know, and then sort of start reading scenes with her. And it's just like immediately like, oh, what was I worried? Like, she's the thing that grounds this. Like, that's what makes this work. It's, you know, like she knows how to do this and to find the charm, and she has charm, you know, like, and I think that's what you're looking for ultimately. It's like you want charm to carry you through.
Yeah, so you're developing the show and I think comic book fans already grasped this pretty early on with the marketing materials and the trailer and the plot and all that, but it seems like the visual style and a lot of the story seems to be inspired by a pretty particular run of Hawkeye with creators Matt Fraction and David Aja. So I'm curious, I assume you've read that or at least skimmed it. So yeah. What about that in particular do you think lends itself so well to this TV show and the story you're telling?
Like I said, my observation on Clint was that there was a sort of absurd quality to his existence and in the Fraction run, like that's exactly what he found and embraced and built a whole, you know, sort of journey around, really made grounded this guy and looked at, you know, sort of essentially what a superhero goes through on his day off, you know. And of course the fun of it is that he can never really escape it and will always kind of find trouble, or other trouble will find him, and but the approach and the details and the observations, when I read that, it was essentially like that again, if I was going to write this character, this is how I'd want it done. Like it felt so perfect. And yeah, just from the way he gets hurt and just his vulnerability and his mistakes and like his flawed, again, he's a flawed character. That's what's, you know, I like he's got these, you know, he's got a sort of, again, a backstory and a quality that just makes him very relatable. So I mean, it just felt like the perfect kind of clear, tone to try and carry into the show.
Right. So not no offense to the intricate continuity of something like Sack Lunch Bunch, but I got to assume that like Hawkeye is the first time you were directing something that had so many moving parts and fact checking and all that going on around you. So I'm curious, when you're telling a story that in this established world of two dozen movies and TV shows, did that feel like this like wealth of, you know, opportunity, or did you ever kind of feel that it was a little bit of a challenge always having to double check what you can and can't do?
I think it's both things. Yeah, I think you initially there's a big excitement. You said it like almost overwhelming when you sort of realize how much goes on in this world and what there is and all the possibilities. And of course, as you start diving into different runs of character, you know, stories and things that exist in the comic, where you sort of keep seeing like, oh, they could do this. So again, like I said, I would be firing off these notes and ideas, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and sort of like, I've solved it. Like, that's what's going to fix this thing. And then you sort of get all excited about pitching it. And then, yeah, that's, you know, that's when like someone like Kevin, the overarching brain of it all, knows, like, will go like, oh yeah, no, that's really good. But yeah, we're already doing that in, you know, this movie, or that's, you know, like, and that, so it, I don't know, like, in some ways, I think I always, again, had the focus of the show. They don't overwhelm you. They don't sort of go like, okay, here's a big booklet, the big plan. And so just make sure you don't touch the sides. Don't do that. Well, you know, they really just wait for you, I think, to kind of stumble into them and then kind of push you back in, you know, in another direction. But so that was the approach. And I think you just once you realize like, okay, someone else is watching this stuff, like, well, you know, you're good.
Yeah. So without spoiling the context, there's a line, I believe it's in the second episode of the series, where a character says that people want heartfelt sincerity in their heroes and not like this dark, cynical nature. So when you talk about Hawkeye, and you mentioned this like in Endgame, and there are dark bits of his history, and you guys do touch on it a little bit, but while you're crafting the show, while you're directing these episodes, was that ever in the back of your mind that you never wanted to go too dark, and you wanted to still keep that kind of the heart of the show, the joy of the show?
I'll be honest, like, I think I found the Voromir scene with Nat, you know, and she sort of sacrificed herself and, you know, in a way so that Clint can kind of have his family back. Like, I found that was like one of my favorite scenes of the whole crazy movie. And so yeah, there's definitely a part of me that kind of wanted to, you know, I wanted to kind of continue down that path. Like, I wanted that. And I think there was a version of going dark with it. And actually there's an aspect of even the Fraction run. It kind of has like this sort of 70s New York kind of vibe, like almost like a gritty quality to it. And so, yeah, there was a stretch where I was really like, I kind of kept wanting to nudge it into the more of this kind of noir world. And like, I wanted to sort of see that shadowy side of Clint's face. But yeah, I don't know. Then you got Kate's character to sort of balance it out Yeah, just as we worked on it more and more, you just realize like, no, we can still touch those things, but it doesn't need to be, you know. Yeah, it's like, it doesn't need to be sort of, I don't want to sort of comment on DC land, but yeah, you know, I think what sort of Marvel does is sometimes find these sort of surprising tonal journeys, you know, into these characters. And yeah, Christmas was a thing. And the other thing is actually that, you know, Trin and Kevin always kind of had a sense that the show should start from kind of a surprisingly low stakes place. Like, you shouldn't, it's, you know, it's not like it should open with this big world ending plot or something, you know, like, I think ultimately, you know, the smart thing in that is that, yeah, it gives you time to look at the character and not to, you know, think about everything else and worry about what's, and that's what's fun of actually these streaming shows, is that we have the time to sort of pace that out. And you know, that this show, I think, it's a little bit like a snowball sort of going down a side of a mountain, and that, yeah, it will keep shifting gears and getting bigger and bigger, and that's part of the joy.
And you said that you are an executive producer, but you're only directing episodes 1, 2, and 6, which is an interesting mix. You get to start and end the story. Yeah. But in between there, you have Bert and Birdie, who are doing 3, 4, and 5. Yeah. So I'm curious what you feel about what it was like, I guess, collaborating with them and, you know, sharing this sort of duty on this 6-episode series.
No, it was great. I mean, you know, again, it's like, it's obviously, like I said, you sort of have this sense of ownership, and yeah, I'd been on it for a while, you know, sort of by the time those guys came on, and you know, it does feel a little bit like you're sort of handing over a baby, and there are elements of their episodes that, you know, I was excited to sort of see come to light, and I had a sense of what I felt like I wanted them to be and how we wanted to handle them in terms of the action and all that kind of stuff. And so, there's that moment of hesitation, I think, at first, but, you know, then you realize like, oh, you know, yeah, they have similar brains and also they're coming in with this sort of different observation and different energy. And, you know, so you get to sort of embrace that and let them have fun with it. And, you know, again, and I think because I got to frame the series and because of the way we shot it, where we did sort of overlap a lot, you know, there were literally sort of days where I might start the day and then hand off, you know, the crew to the back half of the day with them. And so it became quite fluid and easy in that way. Calls and conversations and concepting and all that kind of stuff. It was like, you realize like, oh, I've just got these other set of hands here and someone else to sort of talk to and bounce things off. And they have me and, you know, as long as we stay in sync, then, you know, and then that's my job is to try and keep us in sync.
Yeah. So you mentioned that Hawkeye is a Christmas story and it really is. There's Christmas all over this show. So I'm curious now what you think are as when you got the show and you knew it was going to take place in Christmas, what did you think were the hallmarks of a Christmas story in a film or TV series that had to be in the show?
Clint's a family man. And so, yeah, that sort of energy, you know, like the Planes, Trains and Automobiles scenario of the hero just, you know, desperately trying to get home to his family for Christmas is such a fun trope and a fun energy. And it felt like a fun thing to see Clint try and do. So you've got that, you know, which is a framework that people understand and feel for. Christmas is also like a funny time of year. There's sort of it's a surface level joy everywhere. Like everywhere you look, there's twinkling lights and you know, Christmas carols. It's so, you know, it's a funny collective thing in our Western culture that we sort of all get behind this time of year and like all kind of force ourselves to smile. And I think that's what a good Christmas movie does, is sort of always look a little bit underneath that surface and use that sort of high emotional pressure and the sort of like slight sense of turbulence to introduce an element of chaos and insight. So Home Alone and Planes, Trains and all that, like there's such a fun, again, like balance of, I think, chaos with the veneer of joy that was really the thing. It was like, can we kind of play with that in the same way? In terms of touches, landmarks, you got New York at Christmas time, silly Christmas sweaters and all the stuff that we,
I mean, without giving anything away, in the first episode pretty early on, I think they name a few of them. Clint sitting at a table is just like, what do you want to do? And it's like sweaters and Christmas tree and all that. So
yeah.
And do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. God. Yeah. I don't even know why it's up for debate, but I went to, they had a screening here in LA like a few years ago and it was like, it was the whole thing was presented like, you know, Christmas at Nakatomi Plaza. It was so fun. You know, playing Christmas music when he came in absolutely.
That's awesome. So obviously you can't tell me any secrets and I honestly don't want any because, you know, I'm a fan of this stuff anyway, but I'm curious if you can mention if there's a hero or maybe a character from the MCU or just Marvel Comics that you're like, oh, I would love to get this person in there and just couldn't find a place for it.
Oh, that's a loaded one. Cause yeah, well, you almost don't want to reveal anything.
No.
Cause we did kind of get to introduce, I mean, I like, we, well, you know, here's one. I mean, Ant-Man obviously both like Paul and Jeremy's dynamic together. Like I enjoyed their press tour dynamic, when they were on the Avengers run and he was a character that I just felt like a fun way again to play at Clint, the absurdity of Clint's situation. We get to have a little, I got to have a little nod to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's, who doesn't want to work with Paul Rudd though?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
and I like that you kind of wanted it just for the press tour also.
Yeah. That was fun. Just what those guys just kind of decided, like, well, this is some fun with this. And yeah.
Yeah, so you're directing the series, and now it's finally here. What has been kind of the hardest part of this whole, you know, not the press tour aspect, but finishing the show and not getting, I guess, being able to really talk about it? Has that been another challenge for you that you're not used
to? Yeah, no, it is. It's like this sort of tightrope walk, and because I'm as excited as anyone, you know, when these things come out. And And yeah, you kind of want to tell everyone what's great about it and what's coming. And at the same time, I realized like, yeah, well, that would just ruin it as well. So I sort of understand that. But yeah, no, it's a tough line to walk, and they police it quite well. And so I find myself just, you know, you turn your brain inside out sometimes, because I'm also a very honest person. I'm not very good at lying. And so, yeah, just figuring how to deal with that is tricky.
I'm surprised Kevin hired you then.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you got lying 101. We got to do this. This is Marvel Studios here.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. but when you get to do the finale, I guess, we're not, obviously, we can't talk about it too much. But at what point when you're crafting the story, do you feel like it's okay to tell a story and then also have it so characters can live on? Because that's another challenge, right? Like, you're telling a story and you technically get to finish this particular one, but you don't get to finish the whole thing.
Right.
So did that present any challenges to you as well?
Yeah, in a way. Although, you know, again, I think that's something we've all grown used to in Marvel. I mean, this was amazing, is that you know that it's a world that continues. And, you know, like, not many franchises or movies get to go in knowing that, you know. You know, obviously there was even a big debate about Dune, whether that was going to get a second part even after it come out, and people love. So yeah, like it's sort of, so really, actually, you know, it's a weirdly fortunate and crazy place to be in, to know that these things are going to continue, and I'm setting something up. So yeah, like, it's a challenge, but it's a thrill as well, because you sort of remove some of the responsibility, I think, of putting a perfectly neat bow on things.
Yeah. And you get to see, like, this isn't a spoiler because they announced that recently, but you get to see like an Echo show.
Yeah.
Gets to spin off from that. And you mentioned the actress that you got to cast for that. That's got to be pretty exciting too, to see kind of your baby move on, so to speak.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, honestly, like, I remember, you know, again, I read her, and I remember, you know, talking with Kevin and the gang about it, and yeah, that moment where we all agreed we were you know, like, this was the way to go. And you know, it was a risk. Like, it was an absolute risk, because yes, it's a huge, it's not just like casting someone in a movie, like, it's casting someone in the MCU. like, it's
right.
It means a lot. Like, they're going to be a character, a beloved character, they're going to be that person, fans are going to, you know, sort of have opinions about it and take them on. Like, you know what you're doing to someone's life. Like, it was, I remember coming off the call when we decided, and we brought Alako on and told her, and I mean, we were all, it was a Zoom, and we all virtually held hands just before we did it. And like, we're doing this, and like, we're going to jump off the plane together. Right. Like, that's what, you know, but you know, realizing like, oh, we just changed this person's life. Like, you know, that's what's just happened just now. And she, again, what was amazing about her, that she, you know, I did quite a few readings with her, and she, someone who's not got any experience, she just kind of did not blink once, like, just would kind of just, you know, would go for it and just keep adapting and keep going, like, okay, yeah, well, I can do that. Like, so, because again, it must have been crazy terrifying, but you never got that sense of her. And that's how it carried through making the show. She just kind of walked onto set like she'd been there before. She's like, you know, I remember we did the camera tests with her outfit, and it was like, oh my god, like, that's, you know, you just own it. We see it right away, and so yeah, it's thrilling.
I mean, every character is somebody's favorite. Like, that's the joy, I guess, of the Marvel universe. Yeah, is that, yeah, even a character like Echo, who's relatively new in the grand scheme of things to Marvel readers, is somebody's favorite.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They all have different access points. That's what's amazing. You know, everybody can kind of find that thing that speaks to them in this universe. And you know, Echo, it, you know, she's a Native American character, and she's deaf. And you know, and so yeah, it's amazing that we're sort of, you know, carving that out, you know, and that, you know, that this will speak to a certain audience and show them something that maybe they haven't seen before, represented before. And yeah, so yeah, it's wonderful.
And before I wrap up, I have to, you know, I want to give you the chance to also talk about maybe something you got coming up. Is there anything you're working on now that you want to tease post Hawkeye?
I'm actually, I'm sort of going back somewhat to my roots in that we've got season four of documentary now. We're working on, because it's, you know, we've always kind of owed it, wanted to do it, and it's been a few years, and it felt like a really kind of fun chaser to Marvel was to sort of go back into the sort of having no money but making something for a very small audience.
Are you going to go back on set and be like, well, when I worked for Marvel Studios,
where's our previs, what do we, you know, it's going to be interesting for sure. It's we shift of gears.
Yeah, you're going to be like, where's the security, is everybody wearing the robes over their costumes? Okay. Well, yeah, I got to wrap up. It was a pleasure talking with you, Reese. Hawkeye is coming out right around Thanksgiving. Perfect time to sit down with the family and enjoy your Jeremy Renner and Hailee Steinfeld goodness. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.